knowing.
Before Mac, before Bob, even before Ruby, I know that Stella is gone. I know it the way you know that summer is over and winter's on its way. I just know. Stella once teased me that elephants are superior because they feel more joy and more grief than apes.
Your gorilla hearts are made of ice, Ivan, she said, her eyes glittering. Ours are made of fire.
Right now, I would give all the yogurt raisins in all the world for our heart made of ice.
Five men.
Bob heard from a rat, a reliable sort, that they tossed Stella's body into a garbage truck. It took five men and a forklift.
Comfort.
All day I tried to comfort Ruby, but what can I say? That Stella had a good and happy life? That she had lived as she was meant to live? That she died with those who loved her most nearby? At least the last is true.
Crying.
Julia cries all evening while her father sweeps and mops and dusts and cleans the toilets. When George sees Mac, he runs to him. I can only hear a few of his words. Vet, should have, wrong. Mac shrugs. His shoulders droop. He leaves without a word. When George wipes away the fingerprints off my glass, his cheeks are wet. He doesn't meet my eyes.
The one and only Ivan.
When all the humans have left, I send Bob to check on Ruby. How is she? I ask when he returns.
She was shivering, Bob says. I tried to cover her with hay, and I told her not to worry because you were going to save her.
I glare at him. You told her that?
You promised Stella. Bob lowers his head. I wanted to make the kid feel better.
I shouldn't have made that promise, Bob. I point to Stella's domain, and for a moment, it seems like I've forgotten how to breathe. I wanted to make Stella happy, I guess. But I can't save Ruby. I can't even save myself. I flop onto my back. The cement is always cold, but tonight it hurts.
Bob leaps onto my belly. You are the one and only Ivan, he says. Mighty Silverback.
He licks my chin, and he's not even checking for leftovers.
Say it, Bob commands.
I look away.
Say it, Ivan.
I don't answer, so Bob licks my nose until I can't stand it any longer. I am the one and only Ivan, I mutter.
And don't you ever forget it, he says.
When I gaze at the food court skylight, the moon Stella loved is shrouded in clouds.
Once upon a time.
All night, Ruby moans and sniffles. I pace my domain. I don't want to fall asleep in case she needs something.
Ivan, Bob says gently, get some sleep, please, for your sake and for mine.
Bob can't sleep unless he is on my stomach. I hear a stirring.
Ivan, Ruby calls.
I rush to my window. Ruby, are you all right?
I miss Aunt Stella, Ruby sobs, and I miss my mom and my sisters and my aunts and my cousins, too.
I know, I say, because it's all I can think of.
Ruby sniffles. I can't sleep. Do you know any stories the way Aunt Stella did?
Not really, I admit. Stories were Stella's specialty.
Tell me a story about when you were little, Ruby pleads. She puts her trunk between the bars. Please, Ivan.
I scratch the back of my head. I don't remember things, Ruby, I admit.
It's true, Bob says, trying to be helpful. Ivan has a terrible memory. He's the opposite of an elephant.
Ruby lets out a long, shivery breath. Oh, well, that's okay. Night, Ivan and Bob.
I listen to Ruby's soft sobs for a long, horrible minutes. Then I hear myself saying, once upon a time, there was a gorilla named Ivan. And slowly and deliberately, I tried to remember.
The grunt.
I was born in a place humans call Central Africa, in a dense rainforest so beautiful no crayons could ever do it justice. Gorillas don't name their newborns right away the way humans do. We get to know our babies first. We wait to see hints of what might yet be. When they saw how much she loved to chase me around the forest, my parents decided on my twin sister's name, Tag. Oh, how I loved to play tag with my sister. She was nimble, but when I got too close, she would leap onto my unsuspecting father. Then I would join her and we would bounce on that tolerant belly until he gave us the grunt, the rooting pig sound that meant enough. That game never got old. Although my father might have disagreed.
Mud.
It didn't take long for my parents to find my name. All day long, every day, I made pictures. I drew on rocks and bark and my poor mother's back. I used the sap from leaves. I used the juice from fruit. But mostly, I used mud. And that is what they called me, mud. To a human, mud might not sound like much, but to me, it was everything.
Protector.
My family, which humans call a troop, was just like any other gorilla family. There were 10 of us. My father, the silverback, my mother, and 3 other adult females, a juvenile male called a blackback, and 2 other young gorillas. Tag and I were the babies of the group. We squabbled now and then as families will, but my father knew how to keep us in line with a simple scowl. And for the most part, we were happy to do what we were meant to do, to feed and forage and nap and play. My father was a master at leading us to the ripest fruit for our morning feast and the finest branches for our night nests. He was everything a silverback is meant to be, a guide, a teacher, a protector. And nobody could chest beat like my father.
A perfect life.
Gorilla babies and elephant babies and human babies are not so different, except that a gorilla gets to spend the day riding on his mother's back like a cowboy on a horse. It's a pretty great system from the baby's point of view. Slowly, carefully, a young gorilla begins to venture farther and farther away.